Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Can I talk now? Now that you're done listening to our Run DMC?
Just read the intro.
Welcome.
You picked the wrong day to get on the wrong side of the bed.
That's funny. Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the ESPN 101.3 app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, we'll break down this past week's race at Talladega, and man, a lot of fun for us NASCAR fans, and hear from your winner for the first time, Mr. Carson Hocevar. News in the world of NASCAR, well, we have some, and we head to the Lone Star State for this week's race at Texas, in which Jason is already giving his heater dud meter for Texas today, previous to them going down there, and it won't be good. Yeah, it is what it is. All right, chase standings, plus much, much more, and some fantasy standings on Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Why'd you turn the music down?
It's because this is what we do on the show. Oh. I mean, we've only been doing this for over a decade.
I know, I thought you would leave
you
it on with
be.
Yo Run DMC. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle, to my radio right, all things Alabama, Jason Hildebrand, the man spinning the tunes, spinning opinions, keeping us on the air. Admitted he was old a few minutes ago because he listened to Run DMC in high school.
Yeah.
That's super producer that was Scott
right,
Webb.
That song was right in the middle of high school, so.
And I'm sure with what
you
he was doing in
do
high
the
school,
math.
Listening the to Run DMC, he needed a prescription to cure the headache that you had to listen to the things. Luckily for him, now Mouse Creek Pharmacy has grown so much.
I
they
don't know if I like
location.
All the hate over Run DMC.
I mean, it's just there. That's right. The same great location, Hometown Service, can now, I'm all messed up now. Can
what
great,
are you doing?
I don't know. Can
You've
now
been
be
doing
found
this show for 13 years.
You would
you
think
be
I
able
have
to
it all
read
memorized.
Something.
Their newest location, Georgetown Pharmacy. You guessed it. It's off Georgetown Road in Georgetown, Tennessee. Get away from that big box store. Yeah, it's CVS. Talk about that for an hour. And visit Mouse Creek or Georgetown Pharmacy today. All right, the heater dud meter. What do you got? I got a one.
I'm going a two. Now I'm only going to say two because 26 half the field got wiped out in that big wreck.
Yeah,
and so it made the racing different at the end than what we should have seen. But I'm going two. I thought it was an interesting race.
I got something to say about that.
I was all over it. I thought I'd give it a one and a half. The first segment, and I saw somebody tweet out some stats that the pace that they did new segments. That sound terrible.
Yeah, I was just about to text you, so you sound like you're in a bucket. But
I don't know what's going on here today. The first segment, they ran over 49 seconds a lap, like 80% of the first run. So
right.
They had two pit. Well, some people could pit twice. Some people pitted twice. Some people pitted once. The last two segments, they ran like 88% of those laps at 49 seconds or faster, which means we saw actual racing the second half of the race.
Which means NASCAR's plan worked.
I think it did work. I still would have liked to see more racing at the beginning, but when fuel at the track like that becomes such a big story, you're going to have some slower laps as people want to try to save fuel so their pit stops are shorter. But the second half of the race, especially after the big one, was electric. I thought it was one of the better races we've seen in a while.
I think so, too. Let's get to the wreck. So, I don't know. Well, let me just say this. I've officially sold all my tickets on Bubba Wallace. I've tried to like him and want him to do well. But it seems like every time he does like something stupid, his attitude in the interview is more like he's owed something or he's mad about it. And to me, look, did he, pull up and cause that? No, I think he did get hit from behind. But he was trying to either go block or, wasn't holding it straight. And when you're at the front of the field, man, and it could have been, I think it was Ross Chastain who was behind him. I mean, you have to realize that you got to be a little more careful than, especially since we just, with the stats that Statman Scott Webb was throwing out up there, that they weren't even, to the floor. And so, and then we've got that happening. And then it just takes out the whole deal. And entitlement. That is the thing I kept trying to figure out and when I was doing the show schedule last night. Is like, I feel like he has a sense of entitlement. And look, he broke some barriers. I appreciate that. You know, so did Wendell Scott. And so we've done that. And there's other African-American drivers that are extremely good. So he needs to know that, like, he's not the only person there and the only guy that can wheel that 23, you know, car around the track. And I say that with all respect. Like, to me, you have an opportunity to drive for a really good owner that wants you in the car. If you make a mistake, own up to it. Like, own up to it and say, man, this is horrible. Don't throw it out as, like, you did something, you know, I can't believe it. I shouldn't be in that position, blah, blah, blah. I'm selling them for now. I could buy them back later, but I think I'm sold.
Well, so you're seeing my side of the story now. My side of things. That's the way I feel about Bubba. I've never been I take that back. I was a big fan of his when he was in the Truck Series. Yeah. I really liked Bubba Wallace in the Truck City Series. Even though he's a Tennessee fan, he's an Alabama guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was really pulling for him. Then once he made that jump up, it seems like, you know, he's just had this chip on his shoulder. And the act has kind of got me. I want to say the act.
Yeah.
And that's what turns me away from Bubba. Not the incident on the track. So, I mean, those things happen.
Let's just call it what it is, right? You got Talladega a couple years ago where the, you know, rope was hanging down. And he made a big deal out of that, whether it was real or not, right? I don't want to say that or not. But I think that turned a lot of people against him. And he's almost been defending himself, it seems, ever since.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's really tough for us to sit and talk about it because I can't put myself in his shoes.
Right.
Yeah, so I can't offer any perspective on that. And I think it'd be ignorant of me to do that.
Right.
However, when things come out about that garage pull,
yeah,
is that what it was? He could have very easily shut it down, but he didn't.
Right.
But anyways, we'll move on from that. But I've just kind of had a bad taste in my mouth with Wallace since then.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, but the guy's got talent.
He does. He's had the opportunity as well. It's not like you can say that he hasn't had the car to perform.
Good grief, look at his team.
His teammates won, you know, 5 out of 10 now, I guess, 5 out of 11. Scott, what's your take?
My take.
You sound much better, buddy.
Thank you. Did a little work there while you guys were chit-chatting. Here's my take. First of all, I'm rarely in this sport do we hear somebody take responsibility after an accident. So I don't put that just on Bubba Wallace. Now, they may come out the next day and say, yeah, once I went back and looked at the video, hey, it was probably my fault, all that sort of stuff. So, you know, what they say 2.5 minutes after getting wrecked out of the race, I never really take that with a grain of salt because they're all upset. And I could see 30-year-old Scott Webb, however long ago that would have been, upset if he got out of a wrecked out of a race and want to blame everybody but himself. So I get that. You know, Bubba is probably one of the more emotional drivers in the sport. He always kind of carries his emotion on. You don't have to guess what's going on. He gives you what's going on. So to a degree, I appreciate that. But also, you know, you've got to understand sometimes there has to be some opportunity to maybe say less and not just be let the emotions flow out of you. And in particular times, I think he's a talented driver. I think they've got a great thing going. I still think there is another level to the maturing of Bubba he needs to take. And if he can take that step, you know, he could be a popular driver. He could be a guy that wins multiple races throughout the year. He could be a guy that could compete for a championship. But there's still some things from the personal side, the driver side, I think he has to correct. And if they can figure that out, If he can figure that out, then he has a chance to do some pretty good things in the sport. but the emotion dictates too much for me.
I wanted to throw out there maturity. You know,
but how long does it take to get that? He's had multiple opportunities. You know, and I don't want to keep railing on the guy, but look, he was at Richard Petty Motorsports.
I'm
going to
keep railing on the guy, but I'm going to keep railing on the guy.
If that doesn't mature you,
yeah,
being there, then you should. I mean, like in my mind, he should be the ultra maturity, and having two kids in the process. You know, that to me, there's a lot to growing up when you have those kids, and it's, you know, I don't know. My big deal is here, and the last I'll say about it, and then get your comment. But there are too many talented drivers in other series that could immediately take that seat. He needs to act like he appreciates the seat.
And I'm going to say one more thing about Bubba. He has the opportunity to be one of the best in the sport with the team, the equipment, the sponsorship that he's got, and his driving ability. That guy can wheel it.
Yeah.
There's just some things, emotional, other things like that, that needs to be reeled in. But the guy can drive, and he's got a great team.
Probably a little people pleaser like me, because I could see me being kind of that way.
Me too. So,
all right, Chase Elliott comes up a little short, but you know, has turned in three solid finishes over the last 3 weeks. We said at the beginning of the year when we found out how they were going to, you know, measure drivers on getting to a championship, this kind of fits the Chase Elliott / Ryan Newman, you know, kind of feel. And Chase has really kind of bought into that with a consistency. Is he winning a ton of races? No. Nobody has other than Tyler Reddick. But he did get one, I believe. And then also, you know, when he hasn't won, he's ran in the top five, top ten.
I mean, he's slowly, quietly. I mean, he's in fourth place in the point standings. And like you alluded to there, I mean, kind of Ryan Newman it all the way up to when he got that victory. Solid year so far, being in the top four.
Yeah, just, you know, we asked last year to see more consistency and to have that not just consistency, because he could go out there and run 8th through 12th. He did that a lot last year. Yeah. What we asked was we wanted to see him more in that top five, top seven, and be out there and give yourself opportunities to win. And I think we've seen that. I think we've seen an improvement. They needed to improve where they were in the past year and a half, ever since he got that skiing accident and hurt his foot. You know, he's not been quite the same driver. And we're starting to see a kind of shift. And that's good for that organization, because we've got Larson, who has been in a lull, still sixth in points, but not really competing year in and week out like we've seen in the past. And to see the nine kind of take the mantle of, hey, maybe I am the best driver and the best car in this organization, has been a pretty pleasant surprise, because we know how popular it is. We know it's good for the sport when he's out there competing and winning. And you don't want to just be the most popular driver. You want to be the most popular driver that can go out there and win week in and week out. And we're seeing a trend in the positive direction for him.
The one thing I'll say that's impressive, Jason, is most of the time, Dale Earnhardt Jr., for instance, not performing, change of crew chief, finally lands on one, and then that crew chief leaves. Chase Elliott's had his ups and downs, and kudos to that team. They haven't made any wholesale changes. They've just stayed together, put their heads down, went to work, and remained consistent.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not broken, don't fix it. I mean, there's things that are fixable, you know? I mean, that you can gather up as an organization, as a team, address those issues, and do it that way. There's no sense sometimes in these overhauls that we see.
Yeah, and I mean, you could think, listen, I want to say him and Kyle have probably been, they probably have the most tenured team, as in driver crew chief, than anybody else that I can think of.
Larson, you're talking about.
Yeah,
right?
Larson. Okay, we'll talk about that in the news. But, I mean, you know, I think of Joey. Joey's had to switch. Brad switched, of course, going to RFK. But you've had, you know, and even Denny, you know, switching crew chiefs too. So, I think there's something to be said for an organization that's like, yeah, we're going to have our bad years, but our bad years are not going to be horrible. They're just bad. Let's try to fix it.
I mean, it's like turnover in management, or, it's, you know, I mean, in sports organizations, you can't keep going through managers, you can't keep going through coaches. You got to restart over, and then you're going to have your down years.
Right.
I mean, you just got to dig in, find root causes of things, and fix it.
Yeah.
So
that takes a lot. All right, let's get to Carson Hocevar. I want to, I mean, look, I probably was more glued to my seat on Sunday with the final five or six laps or whatever than I have been in a NASCAR race in a long time. And look, all of the stuff that they've compared him to or tried to make him and stuff like that, what he showed on Sunday was what NASCAR has been missing. And in my opinion, it's an excitement. It's somebody doing something new. Everybody, when Carl Edwards jumped in and he started doing literally the jump, the backflip, that was something. We wanted to see that. It was exciting. You wanted to do that. Carl was polarizing as far as like a figure that people could follow. I think it's the same thing with this Hosovar guy. I mean, look, he could go out and wet the bed for the rest of the year. I will always remember in 2026 Talladega when he won, but not only that, when he did something different that normally NASCAR would poo-poo on, that they were like, all right, just go ahead and do it. I mean, and to me, that...
The burnout was electric.
I want to see...
Electric.
This allowed more. And I'm not talking about the burnout, the end of it. I'm talking about let somebody, unlike they did with Ross Chastain, let them be them. Let them be the driver they are, and it will people will eventually take care of it themselves. Carson has not been the greatest gentleman of a driver, but he doesn't have to be. Like, he's out there to win. He's not out there to run 17th or whatever. So, Jason, I guess what I'm saying is, I wish we had this. We can't have it on a weekly basis, but give me more of the energy that was there on Sunday.
Well, it goes back to, you know, years of this show, us talking about what NASCAR has lost over years and years and years and years in its personalities. You know, you want to see those guys that have the personalities in the sport and maybe somebody that you can relate to. I'm happy for the guy. I mean, he's done a lot out there. To get himself in this position in a short amount of time. And, you know, it's impressive.
I think he's exactly what the sport needs more of, characters. We are, ever since Tony Stewart, we lost Dale Sr.
Yeah.
We haven't had a ton of characters. It's a lot of these.
We got him in ARCA now.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of fun.
And I think that is what this sport, it's good for the sport. It's good to have guys that you – like, how long is it – honestly, guys, since Junior retired, I haven't pulled for a driver. I mean, I know that we sit in a different kind of – we have a different perspective when we're watching a race because we have to get on here and talk about it for an hour each week. But even when Junior was running and we were doing this show, I could cheer – I was cheering for a guy, but I could still see that. And I found myself kind of cheering for the 77 because
100%.
He is not only is he electric, he's not afraid.
No.
And it seems like in this corporate world that we've lived in the last 15 to 20 years of the sport, it just seems like everything is what's the phrase I'm looking for? It's just dimmed. I want to make sure we get to the end of the race. Everybody, I'm buddies with everybody else. I'm going to get out of the car. I'm going to talk about my sponsors. I mean, I get.
He doesn't talk to anybody.
I think that what he is doing is it can be, he could, if he can continue to be competitive. Now, you can't just go out there and be a fool.
But he has been. That's
but
my
he
point.
Has He's been that and way. And that's why I think that, and did you see the way the fans reacted to him? I think there's a gravity that he is starting to feel and starting to pull people into because he doesn't care. He's got one thing on his mind. It's going out. It's that early Ross Chastain that has been coached out of him or corporated out of him. And we don't get now we're getting that fresh new version of that. And to me, I think it's great for the sport. They need somebody that can draw people in that can be a lightning rod. I don't care if he's seen as the villain. This sport Good. Needs some villains.
Right.
And he what he's been able to accomplish in the last couple of years. Now last year was really wild in terms of where it went on the spectrum. But this has been a guy that's been running up front all year long.
In equipment that's
that
nowhere
is not
close.
As good as everybody else.
Yeah.
And if he can continue to I don't want to say harness, but begin to rough, you know, smooth some of the edges of his driving and his style. You could see a guy that could go out there and win multiple times in the year And it's always going to be exciting. And that's one of the things that's been missing from the sport.
Jason, you're a big Dale Earnhardt fan. Mm-hmm. What made people like Dale Earnhardt?
Personality, taking risks. Basically, I don't care what anybody else thinks about me, the attitude there. Yeah, I'm just going out here and do my own thing. If you don't like it, you know, get out of my way.
Right.
I think you just described Carson Hosa.
Yeah. I mean, and
we haven't had anybody like that. Kyle Busch flirted with it, but he got out of it.
Yeah. We haven't seen that in a while. Somebody that, we'll put it this way, somebody that can go out there and wheel it to victory in a while.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen some characters out there, but really, I mean, as far as, you know, winning, you pull for winners.
Right.
Everybody pulls for a winner. And we haven't seen a lot of that in years.
So. I guarantee you the noise the crowd makes when he gets called at Texas will be way different than it was when he got called at Talladega.
Sure.
Let's get to the Shock Finisher of the Week.
Shock Finisher of the Week, brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Locally owned for two generations, give Caldwell Paving and Grading a call, 423-336-3841. You'll be shocked how good they are. I'm going with a 23. Surprised, I guess shocked, that he would have been one of the favorites that I would have said at any super speedway, and he decided to take out the whole field.
I'm going to go a little different route. I'm not going a driver. I'm going just Toyota. Highest ranking Toyota finished 14th. At Talladega. They were non-existent. I mean, they're nowhere to be found.
Well, half of them were in the infield.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, Reddick out there 14th and Hamlin in 15th.
A lap down, I think. Hamlin was.
Well, I think Talladega is an easy race to pick the shot guy. I thought the 47, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., although I think he ended up 6th or 7th because he got shuffled out there at the line. But Ricky just always kind of seems to, as long as he doesn't wreck early, he always seems to be around there late. So maybe I shouldn't be shocked at that, but I'll take Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
You know, it's a good-looking car, that red car that Chef Boyardee.
He was motoring it.
Yeah, I'm talking, and when I think about, like, maximizing your sponsorship dollars, Kroger has shown the world how that should happen. Like, by taking, not only it's like, all right, Jason, you've got Chef Boyardee. Well, I'm Kroger. I carry your Chef Boyardee. I'm going to make our relationship a lot more stronger because I'm going to give you a shot on the car and that I have paid for sponsorship for. So that's just that's awesome. All right, let's jump to the Victory Lane interview with Carson Hosevar, and that's brought to you by Lakeview Community Church. Go there tonight at 7 o'clock. It's pastored by Eric and Lake and Golden. They meet Sundays at 10:30 and small groups on Sunday night. For more information, go to lakeviewcommunity.church.
Well, I just never been at a Cup track this long. I didn't know media people stay this long, to be honest. So this is new to me. So, no, it's just unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I've been no secret, obviously, of being a Dale Jr. fan. So, you know, just watching him win so many races here, you know, I obviously feel like I've put a lot of emphasis on the super speedways. And ever since the 500, I felt like we were going to have a shot at this one. We had a shot at both of these last year and felt like I was not owed, but I've had a lot get taken away, I feel like, from out of my control, that at some point the racing gods were going to give me a little bit something. So, just, yeah, I mean, I literally posted on Instagram. I remember driving. I don't remember exactly where, but I remember driving, and it just kind of clicked in my head. I was like, I really think we're going to win. And, you know, I posted it and risked getting clowned. Yeah, it just worked out, I guess. Yeah, I was so confident in our group.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Give me more. That's all I got. Yeah. I mean, I've got nothing else. That's something that it was just – and, I'm, you know, my wife, my kids were even paying attention to it. I mean, and that to me is
– He's good for the sport.
He is very good for the sport. All right, anything you see on our social medias that doesn't get us clowned, it's because it's done by WebIV Digital Marketing. They can do for the same thing for you. For more information – go to webiv.com. All right, news in the world of NASCAR. We got some right after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. Listen, I mean, it's still kind of, the weather is still, can't make up its mind. It's going to be a little chilly. Still not ready to turn your heat on yet, but it's a good time that it gets a little cooler to get that air conditioner looked at. Give Dale a call here in Cleveland, 423-509-8787, or do like we do, just call Dale's. .com. All right, news in the world of NASCAR is brought to you by Bradley Veterinarian Hospital. BVH is located, my gosh, locally owned veterinarian hospital that will see animals for as small as your new puppy.
We're going to have to make the Verizon call to the pen.
As your new puppy to livestock on your farm. With over 50 years of service and five highly trained veterinarians that live in the town they work in, this could be your last stop for all your veterinarian needs. I've trusted them with my dogs for 40 years. You can too. Give them a call, 423-479-2051, or visit their website, bradleyvet.com. You know, the crazy thing is I write all these. So it's like I write them all. I should have them memorized.
You should, but
doesn't work out too well. No. So, all right, I think Kyle Busch is on his third crew chief, maybe, as Andy Street takes over the Titanic that's about to hit the iceberg, Jason.
It's already hit.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing's going down. But, you know, as much as I like Kyle, you know, respect his driving ability and basically his career. You know, it's one of those things, too. It's never his fault.
No. He's got a little of that Bubba's got.
He didn't have a little of it.
Yeah, but he's a champion. And
he's on the Mount Rushmore of that.
Him, then Bubba.
Let's just see where that goes. Yeah. I'm kind of interested to see where
but it goes. But is it a crew chief thing or is it just poor equipment?
Why does Austin run in the back and Kyle runs in the back too?
That's what I'm saying. So I think it's just anything coming out of that shop is not up to the performance. So
Dylan's ahead of him in points.
Is
too.
Andy Street, who is already employed by or been employed by Richard Childress or RCR, what difference is he going to make? And then they kept his old crew chief on as something. So
maybe car chief.
I think it's just it's a bad look. You know, this early in the season to do something like that. So, and if you listen to their chatter on the radio, it's some weird stuff. I mean, you know, he actually, his crew chief started yelling at him a couple weeks ago, like, tell him to drive the car.
But, you know, you got to imagine that Kyle is awful to talk to on the radio if his car's not running well.
Yeah.
It's not like that attitude that you get at the end of the race when he's running 25th.
It's great theater for us.
Somewhere. Yeah, it's great for us. It's got to be awful to talk to.
Yeah, if you go to a race and you get a scanner, pop on the 8 and just hang out. So, all right, we've got a little shakeup at the top of NASCAR as well. Steve O'Donnell, now CEO, and Jim France moved to the chairman of the board. Listen, I think this is great. I don't, you know, Steve O'Donnell doesn't come across to me as an executive. Steve O'Donnell comes across to me as someone who's one of the guys in a way. So I think he will appeal to some of these owners and be able to make some changes.
Well, one of the things that the first things that I, since his announcement or whatnot, you know, he was talking about Carson Hocevar's celebration. He said he absolutely loved it.
Yep.
You know, that tells me a little bit of difference between him and what's been as far as the leadership in the past.
Yeah.
I think he's more relaxed. Seems to be anyways, and hopefully we'll see some good stuff come out of it.
Now, is this car his responsibility? Wasn't he tasked with this car?
So, I'm pretty sure.
So he's going to have to defend that or to fix that in some way, form, or fashion.
Yeah. Get rid of some of these tracks.
That would probably help.
What are we going to get rid of now?
Texas, I'm telling you. Texas. Yeah,
we're already trying to wait as long as, Texas, as we can to talk
man,
about
Texas. Man, Texas has been on my chopping block for years.
They tried to fix it for
you. It used to be a good track.
It was not bad.
It used to be not a bad race at all. You know, you get that. We don't want to get too deep into Texas right now, but you got two distinct different ends of the track. But it is just turned into a snooze fest.
When I tell you, I'd rather
single file racing.
When I tell you, I'd rather go to Pocono and Michigan over Texas. That's the honest to goodness truth.
Scott's feelings.
That's the honest good truth. But Michigan had some issues for a while,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that
I did get NASCAR 25. And so I've been running some of these tracks, and you're correct. I mean, Texas is one of those things where even though they've expanded how wide 1 and 2 is, you can't run.
1 and 2 has been wide forever.
But you cannot.
You can't run up there.
There's no fast line.
There's a groove and a half.
Yeah, that's all you got. Now 3 and 4
can be a little decent. 3 and 4 are a little more like Charlotte 3 yeah. and 4, where if you can depending upon how, I don't know, we're getting deep into Texas talk here, but depending upon how your car is set up, you can run one or the other. But 1 and 2, there is really one way around it, and there's nothing. If you can't run well there, then you're gonna fall like a rock.
And in this new car, there's not a lot of lifting at Texas either. So,
yeah, but Texas has the Big Hoss TV, the huge screen,
so you can watch how bad it is.
Yeah, that's how. Yeah.
I gotcha. All right, time for NASCAR.
I'm sure there'll be dozens of fans there.
Cup point standings. They're brought to you by Bremeyer with Krylock Realtors. Whether you're selling your home or buying a dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. Bree is the realtor I trust, and you should too. Give her a call at 1-269-598-6243 today. Scott Webb, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your NASCAR Cup Series point standings after the Jack Lynx 500 at Talladega Super Speedway. Tyler Reddick has a commanding 110-point lead over Denny Hamlin. Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, and Ty Gibbs are your top five. Kyle Larson, Christopher Buescher, Carson Hocevar in eighth. Christopher Bell, Brad Keselowski, your top 10. William Byron, Bubba Wallace, Ryan Preece, Daniel Suarez, Joey Logano, and Austin Cindric. And that is your...
Hey, I need to coach you on something. You have NASCAR. You have not gave a big York in a long time.
Well, we can...
What's going on with that?
Well, I mean, if you can coach me, can I coach you how to just read the reads?
I think I've almost coached myself on that, but you really have one
NASCAR.
Job. It was always
Cup Series standings.
You led people to believe you were about to get really hype on it, and then you would go yo, and then you would drop off. And so it was kind of a shtick.
Sunday.
That too. So all right, Bree Maya, she brings you that. She's my realtor. She could be yours too. Give her a call, 1-269-598-6243. Time to move on to the next race. It's Jason's favorite. That'd be Texas. We'll talk about it right after this.
We got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. The green flag is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. And it's time to move on to your next race. I'll tell you what, the next race in my life is I will have no more kids in high school here in about 2 weeks. It made me think about that because it was funny. This is how long That's we've good. Been doing this show. I think Ephraim was maybe 7, 8, and he had a little keyboard that had like a microphone with it, and his intro would be exactly what I just said there. So, So time to move on to the next race.
It's going to be fast, man.
I know. In life, your next race may be buying a new home or moving an aging family member into their new home. Boundless Moving and Storage can move you to whatever your next race in life is. For more information, go to boundlessmoving.com or give them a call, 423-763-1000. All right. MRN did a couple of interviews last week for this week, and one of them being Mr. Ryan Blaney. Still got the big stash, probably about time to change it and change his luck a little bit. But they ask him, what has contributed to Texas becoming a battle of attrition in recent years?
Everyone's kind of fighting for a couple lanes through 1 and 2. So you get guys making, the bold moves to kind of get in the hole into 1 or something, or 3 and 4. If you're trying to hustle it on the top, we're running so low that there's that big bump in the middle of 3 and 4. And so guys kind of bust their butts over it pretty easy. So I think just everyone knows that it's kind of a track position place. It's hard to kind of move forward when it's narrower like that. So everyone knows that restarts are a huge key. And when you have restarts that are a huge key at kind of a narrower place, you're going to get, guys fighting for position and contact. So we'll see if the trend continues.
Thanks, Ryan. You just, cemented everything we just said. All right, William Byron. And he was asked, what are some of the challenges Texas has presented?
It's just a slick place. I think it's the pavement is just it's temperamental and very temperature sensitive, and you have kind of the residual PGA-1 that they laid down that still has a little bit of a stain on the track, and there's a big bump in 3 and 4. So a lot of times when you have the car, you know, the heights are low for 1 and 2, and then you get over to 3 and 4 and you hit that bump and spin out. So I think it's just a combination of all those things.
Joey Logano was asked, why has 3 and 4 at Texas become one of the more treacherous corners in NASCAR?
The bump in 3 and 4, that's probably what it is. I mean, 1 and 2 is challenging. It's pretty free getting out in there, but the bump in 3 and 4, the way these cup cars are riding on the rear limiters, you know, if you're a little free to start and then you hit that bump, it's boom, spin around. You spin around back in the fence. And you got to be charging to make speed. So it's hard to anticipate it coming, and it's hard to save it once it happens.
Yeah, that bump, you can kind of...
I was going to say, how soft are these guys? Oh, there's a little bump in the asphalt.
Well, it's a weird bump. I mean, it will kind of throw you sideways.
They're doing 180 miles an hour, so and me I'm just sitting in my chair, maybe that's...
I'm just doing it on like a TV screen. Their you know, body is in danger, I guess, of that bump. So, but I have backed it in there, did it during qualifying. I got you boys over there to do it. It's a lot of fun to sit in there and actually... race some of that stuff. So I've worked my way up. I am now in the truck series from the ARCA series, and so
with your talent, it's only a matter of time.
Hey, that's definitely good at Daytona, you can tell that for sure. So this week's schedule is brought to you by Porter Concrete. Jonathan Porter's my neighbor, and they're a heck of a concrete guy. He does driveways, sidewalks, foundations, pool decks for many years. Finding the right person to handle your concrete project is important. I've trusted Jonathan and Porter Concrete with all my concrete needs. You can trust him with yours as well. Whether it's commercial or residential, large or small, they do them all. Give them a call, 423-596-0740. Hit up.
Yeah, this weekend, you've got the truck race, 8 o'clock, Friday night. Glad somebody's running under the lights down there.
No kid.
Saturday, CW has the O'Reilly race at 3:30. And then on Sunday, starts off with NASCAR race day at 2 o'clock on FS1, and 3:30 on FS1 is the cup race.
So I know Jason's answer to this. How can you, maybe this just needs to be a Scott and I question. How do you fix Texas? Jason will say axe it.
Blow it up.
That too. How do you fix it? I mean, they fixed Atlanta.
How many
in my mind, you fixed Atlanta. Do you make it into something like that? Or does that tend to duplicate? I mean, I guess the jury's out on what Atlanta will turn into. Do I think it'll be a drafting track forever? Don't
Who
know.
Knows? But they keep saying every year it's going to be not a drafting track, and then it doesn't matter what time of the year they run, it's a drafting track. Yeah. So, and I still don't know that we have enough of them in the sport. I think that's what draws eyeballs to the TV. You know, they did a major reconfigure when they did Atlanta. So I think it would take something on that end. And what strikes me, though, is Texas and Charlotte are very similar. And it seems like they've kind of figured something out with Charlotte. I thought the racing at Charlotte the last couple of years have been pretty good. But for Texas, I don't know if it's just because of the... It's wider. The asphalt has taken more of a beating in the heat of a Texas summer. I don't know what the answer is, but it becomes a... single file, follow the leader, one groove track. And that is everything that we hate about racing. There's not enough variables, tires. It's not... They'll
need
tires.
Is that what you can do, though?
And tires may be something they could do, but are they willing to do it? We haven't seen them be willing to do anything on the tire front that's not just a freak of nature like Bristol a couple years ago.
Jason, if you weren't to blow it up, how would you fix it?
I really don't know. But you got to have a carbon copy of something. Not a carbon copy, but you have to take your learnings from, like Scott alluded to there. Charlotte, to my opinion, was so bad that they wanted to go to a Roval one race. So bad. You know?
And now it's been so good, they've just got rid of Roval.
Yeah, I mean, it's been good. I'm going to say for the past... you know, I won't say maybe 3 years, but definitely the past 2 years, that Charlotte race has gotten much better. If you even look at it, you look at Kansas on a mile and a half is much better than Texas.
And there's multiple grooves at Kansas.
And but then you alluded to earlier, you said there's like 1.5 groove. The guy with a half groove, he's out of it.
Yeah.
You know, so what do you got to do? You got to get back in there and follow the leader. Yeah. And it just kind of just gets boring to watch. I don't.
It's almost like if you put a progressive bank in.
And that's what they did in Atlanta. They progressive banked it. And you know, so that it would.
It made it more narrow, too.
Yeah, they did make it narrow. And I think Texas could use some narrowing because there's just some unusual. Now, I don't know. Part of that may be they like in the past they've run Indy cars there and done some other stuff and want a little wider groove, but it could definitely use because there's just some asphalt that never gets used during a race. One and two, they'll never be outside the dark part of the track.
And if they are, it's a problem.
If they are, they're not going to make it around. They're not going to get to the backstretch.
Yeah,
I'm just, you know, and I'm not just talking about the racing here, but I alluded to it earlier there, you know, with the truck race being at night. I really think that a night Saturday night race at Texas Motor Speedway would inject a little bit of, you know, enthusiasm about Texas.
Grip could be better at that point.
Right.
Yeah. You know? And I think that they need something. I mean, I know sliding around is it's got to
watch that big bump though.
Yeah. A bump will get you. All right, let's go to break. When we come back, I don't even want to talk about fantasy standings, but maybe I can rebound. I will say that it seems like Blake Buell, the Dawsonville Dominator, him and his girlfriend must be on break because I think he performed well this past week. So we'll call him Ross from Friends. We'll talk about it right after this.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio.
Brought to you by Clarity Property Management and Eastman Services on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio. Cool by Dale's Heating and Air. It's time for the Rick Hart Fantasy Standings, Clarity Property Management and Handyman Services. Listen, now you've always trusted them with your property management needs. Now you can let them work on stuff inside the property they manage with the handyman services. I've known Michael Williamson for a long time. No shortcuts, no surprises, just solid, dependable work. And give them a call, 423-458-2600, and tell them the Finish Line boys sent you. Heater.
All right, here's your Talladega.
Well, this Talladega race is much like the actual race in real life. Yeah. It just grenaded about halfway through, and then some of us just limped home in 38th place, just trying to keep four tires on the car.
Yeah, it was a task for sure. If you look and you say it, I have, and you'll get what I'm laughing about here in a minute. But the Talladega league standings, number one was Wild Racer, followed by Kivo Racing.
That's his daughter that beat him, by the way.
Ooh,
yeah.
Arnold Tarpley, Dawsonville Dominator.
On break.
Dale's not dead.
Yeah, he is.
Myself, RLM Racing, Jamie Kyle, Brandon Gaines, Gunnar Ryder, your win, Gunnar Ryder, your cage number three.
He's horrible.
Scott Webb, K White, 67, Chasing the Dub, Loving Left Turns, and with the lowest score I think I've ever seen in this, the real Lyle rolls in with 50 points. Well, this is the problem. He had two drivers that got 1 point, one driver that got 2 points,
yeah,
one driver that got 8 points. And the breadwinner of the group was Austin Dillon.
Wow. Sounds like it.
I mean, he had Ross Chastain with 41 points in the group.
I think he got more points than we've had in early voting, right? I mean, so.
Yeah. So it was a rough. I really thought that, and I texted you guys. I said, I may have the lowest score in the history here because at one point my lineup looked like that. I was having like 1 point, 2 points. I was like, this is not good, guys.
And I'm driving in the middle of all this and seeing you do that. And that's when I had to turn in to find out what happened.
So. You shouldn't be watching your phone while you're driving.
Thank you very much, Dad.
But, you know, that's just trying to keep
fatherly
you safe.
Fatherly advice.
Just trying to keep you safe. So, overall, after that wreck fest at Talladega, Brandon Gaines in the lead. RLM Racing, Loving Left Turns, Dale's Not Dead.
There he is.
Myself, Arnold Tarpley, going to write your cage number three. Jamie Kyle, Kivo Racing, Wild Racer, The Real Lyle, Dawsonville Dominator, Scott Webb, Chasing the Dub, and K White.
I think Chasing the Dub may need to change their name to Chasing the L because it seems like they hadn't done that well. I just rhymed there. That's pretty good. All right, jumping in for their starters that we've got for Texas Motor Speedway. Jason, I think you should just take that race off. You want to blow it up? Take it off.
No, I'm good.
All right. Tyler Reddick, Ryan Blaney, Hosabar. I'm putting him in there. Brad Keselowski runs well there at Texas. Chase Briscoe. And then I got Austin Dillon, who got his first win in a while a couple years ago at Texas. So got him there. I got Hosabar over Gibbs. I got Elliott over Logano. I got Keselowski over Briscoe, which I'm going to have to change one of those. And I got Ross Chastain over his former mi amigo, Daniel Suarez. NASCAR says that if you are a betting person, you probably need to pick the 5 car and then the 24 car. And then they said avoid Chris Buescher. So I don't agree with that. Avoid Alex Bowman. I think Alex Bowman has avoided finishing most races. And
you said some nice things about him earlier.
I know. I had to throw him out. And then the sleeper, Daniel Suarez, finished top 12 in the last 5 Texas races. This is a different car that he's in with a different team. So if you got a gambling problem, stop, Peter.
Yeah, I'm going to – these are subject to change, but I'm going to go with Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, Ty Gibbs, Eric Jones, Christopher Bell, Chase Elliott, my garage. I'm going Gibbs over Hosovar, Elliott over Logano, Briscoe over Keselowski, and Chastain over Suarez.
A lot of the same names. I got Christopher Bell, Brad Keselowski, Chase Elliott, Chase Briscoe, and Carson Hosovar. Bubba Wallace in the garage. I got Hosovar over Gibbs. That could be a little recency bias. Elliott over Logano, Keselowski over Briscoe, and Ross Chastain over Daniel Suarez.
We need to let Webb go first one time.
Yes.
So
why?
You don't have to say like a lot of the same names. You could create your own.
Nobody, if you look at the fantasy standings, nobody cares.
It's not helping you in third, right?
Nobody cares what I say about fantasy, right?
That's crazy. All right. Make sure you tune in Wednesday as we'll break down Texas and get you ready for the Bowling at the Glen. Looking forward to a little road course racing. For Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.